Let's turn back to the 147th Psalm. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. Now, of course, this verse refers to Israel specifically, obviously. He talks about unto our God. So we have to look at things according to the context of the passages, of course. But the general principle of the verse itself talks about the fact that praise in this regard, or worship in this regard, because it is a part of worship, that is always right to extol and to exalt and to glorify and to speak gloriously of the Lord. Then he says in verse 1:4, it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely, or praise is right. As we saw last time, if you are inclined to sing, and I still believe that in the context it may refer directly to the temple singers that we learned about some time ago. And the temple singers were Levites. They weren't the choirs that we see today. In fact, I don't even find the choirs that we have today, the kinds of choirs that we have today, anywhere near a Bible. We're talking about the temple singers. We're talking about Levites. So these were priests. Okay, they were dedicated men. God separated them for this part of service, just as he separated one group of a tribe to carry the ark and another group of a tribe to make sure they were responsible for the building and the goldsmith of all the utensils in the tabernacle. So each particular group that God ordained to do specific things, that's what they did. So the idea that you join some so-called church, then you just jump into something, some choir, there's no model for that anywhere near a Bible. But you know, in our age, who cares what the Bible says? All about feelings and whatever else we think is so important. So truth gets blurred. And I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. I've been talking about it forever, but most people just don't care, which is okay. I mean, you have a right to be wrong and a right to be stupid if you want. Of course, the bottom line, by refusing to see what God says, the penalty for that kind of stupidity is very, very, very high. Whereas the expression, you might have heard it too in educational circles. So if you think education is expensive, try ignorance. Ignorance is a whole lot more expensive than education. If you're inclined to sing, okay, then rejoice in him. Sing praises to him. If you can play an instrument to the Lord, then do that as well. Whatever means you're blessed with, then use the means that God gave you, the talent, not the gift, but the talent, to praise, extol, exalt, glorify, and speak gloriously of the Lord. It was delightful and lovable and sweet and agreeable and beautiful, which is what the word comely means, to do this. And when it came to the musical aspect of it, it means to sing sweetly sounding music. I talked about the fact that the temple singers were specialists in preparation and melody to the Lord. And because that these men were dedicated men, Levites, of course, then that means that their singing was an expression of their worship. And so the core has to be right. In other words, there are people that can sing. I mean, sing and move you emotionally, okay? And emotionally and physically, where you weaving and bobbing, you know, like you on the seas or something like that. But they may not be men and women of any character biblically. So talent is no indicator of whether something is right because it moves you. You know, because something moves us physically, is just that. It could be just simply physical. It has nothing to do with anything spiritual. I'll give you a perfect example of that in a minute. I also talked about the joyful noise aspect, which I'm not going to talk about. But I also mentioned another portion of scripture, Psalm 33:1, where I rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Okay, so those who are righteous were the ones who were commanded to give praise to God. Okay, and praise and rejoicing could also have a musical element in it as well. All right. So we're talking about giving thanks to God. Only the righteous were allowed to do that. Okay. So we're not talking about just anybody or any particular group. And there are many groups that are cloaked in, I guess to quote from Paul, an outward shell of religion. It looks righteous, but it's not really righteous. It's just an outward shell. And I think one of the classic examples of that shell was seen in this macabre funeral blasphemy nonsense that went on yesterday at this burial of this junkie. Now, when I grew up in the 60s, this man would have been classified as a junkie. There would have been no doubt as to this man's character. You're ingesting all these drugs and shooting yourself up with all these drugs. We in the 60s, I mean, they were junkies. They were drug addicts. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, because we're more protective of the image of people, and I said this many, many moons ago, because certain actors and certain actresses and certain musicians and people in entertainment, we like what they do and they make us feel good and blah, blah, blah. They speak to my experience, what have you. Then somehow the whole idea of what they really are is overlooked. The evils of their life are overlooked. Well, I ain't overlooking no junkie. Okay. And I have no respect for a junkie. And from what I understand, because I have better things to do with my life than to watch blasphemy, is that when the $25,000 casket was being wheeled to the front with all this drama and lights, you know, who's singing? Soon and very soon we are going to see the king. You know who was singing it? The one who wrote it. Andre Crouch and his Andre Crouch Singers was singing, soon and very soon we're going to see the king, while they were wheeling in his former junkie. Now, the song, I'm sure, sounded wonderful because Mr. Crouch has professional singers. I mean, these people sang on tour forever. That doesn't mean what they sang was right, and it certainly had absolutely no application to Michael's horrific life. Okay. And because he was an entertainer, it made people feel a certain way, has no relevance to character. Because a person's an entertainer does not speak to their character. Entertainment is a job, it's a profession. It's a job. Character is who you are. Okay, so no question he was a fairly good entertainer. But the idea of him being, as so many call him, a god or a godlike creature is blasphemy. Okay. Of course, you have these morons on the news that suddenly want to act like they want to start dictating to people that this is all a Christian service. I've told you before, the news media wouldn't know a Christian if it fell on their head from the sky. They hate Christianity. They want to give you the version, their perversion of Christianity, that it's okay to be whatever filthy creature you want to be. And as long as you're in some church and some stupid, backward-thinking, so-called former has-been gospel singer wants to sing, and two pimp preachers, Jesse the Pimp Jackson and Al Super Pimp Sharpton, you know, want to sit, get a stand up and talk, then that somehow or another that this is authorizing, God is happy, and you're ushered in because these are the so-called Christian leaders within the church. These two bozos are not Christian leaders because neither one of them are Christians in the first place, according to the Bible. Okay, so the idea that the news media can dictate to us what they deem as Christian is reprehensible. I could not allow this nonsense to go on unanswered. The news media knows nothing about Christianity because they hate Christianity, because their father's a devil. And as I said many times for a long time, the news media is an arm of the enemy anyway. But since people are so stupid to sit there and watch this junk and believe what they tell them, they're not about to question it because, why, it makes me feel good. And the service was moving, and all my favorite idols were singing for the dead junkie idol. The point was that all that music, all that talent, all that wonderful, melodious noise going out was worthless in the presence of God. God didn't care for that mess. Then try to usher these heathens into heaven is blasphemy. And thank God that some few people got gumption enough to say this stuff is nonsense. In fact, not just few, a lot of people have said it this time. They're like, you know what? Enough is enough. But interestingly enough, these aren't church people I'm talking about. Because a lot of so-called churches believe that junkie's in heaven. God ain't got no junkies in heaven. Okay? And the idea of him being a pedophile or child molester, just because someone is acquitted, doesn't mean they're not guilty. Just ask OJ, who you reminded me that someone who knew him said the man was as guilty as the sun coming up in the morning, and that he boasted about it because he did it. And even the jury that acquitted MJ has said themselves they believe he was guilty. So let's not be totally stupid, okay, about these things. I don't think there's any question about what this man's character was, but apparently because he made me feel a certain way and blah, 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 and he broke all these barriers. What barriers is he talking about? He broke the barriers between black and white people? When did that happen? Broke the barriers between, let me see. Now, he was born in 1958, I believe, because he's 3 years older than me. Okay. Younger, that's right. 3 years. Okay. So, well, okay. I think a lot of bears are pretty much toe up already before I was born, and definitely after I was born. So I'm not sure what barrier. Now, see, this is a teaching moment for the people listening who may be fuming, but might still have a speck of intelligence they hadn't shut out yet. Because no one's going to tell you this but the big black preacher. Okay, because I experienced what I'm going to tell you too. See, Michael Jackson didn't break down no barriers. Listen to me carefully. Jackie Robinson didn't break down no barriers. Let me tell you who broke down the barriers. I'll go to Jackie Robinson. The owner of the Dodgers broke down the barriers. Because without that white man, Jackie Robinson wouldn't have had a uniform. See, we don't like to talk about realities. They broke down the color barrier. No, he didn't. A white man had to let him come in and play because white folk didn't want him to play. Okay. Whatever barriers, probably except Rosa Parks, because she just said, I ain't getting on no back of no bus. Okay. She just said, forget about it. And maybe a few others. But most of our so-called black heroes, I know this is hard and painful for people to accept, those who don't think, a white man had to give us the opportunity to do what we did. Now, I was the first black person on KKLA. I didn't just walk in the station and say, I'm black and I'm taking over the joint. Okay. Two wonderful brothers, white, Dennis Hines and Dennis Worden, opened the door for me to come in and to do what I was doing for all these years. Without them, there'd have been no Nightlight, no Bible City program. There'd been no Harley Howard at all, as far as radio and what have you, and live radio goes, or tape radio. So it always took someone else to open a door for me to get through. It always takes someone else to open up a door. And it's like we just ignore the means that were used to get us as a race to where we are today. That's just being disingenuous. So whatever, I don't know what doors were left when Micah was alive that he supposedly, well, he was the first one to, the first black on MTV. Who owned MTV at the time? It wasn't because of Michael Jackson. It was the owners of the studio who owned MTV Music Television said, oh, you gonna let him on now. He didn't just bust. I'm just going to bring my stuff. No, oh, no, 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 no. See, it's a hard lesson, but it's a hard lesson in reality because folks like deal with reality because it's all feeling. He made me feel like, I don't want to deal with reality. I just want to deal with feeling. Somebody, some studio executive, television station told MTV, you're going to put him on right now. He didn't break no doors. Whoever opened the door for him to get on there is to get the credit. And see, we ain't learned that lesson to thank the people that got us where we were. Okay, that's what we should have done if we had any integrity in and of ourselves. It always took someone else to open a door for us to get in. There wasn't no break. We didn't kick nothing down. Like, we just big and bad, like Sergeant Rock with M50 machine gun doing a ramble, kicking down a door. I'm breaking me some barriers. I'll break this barrier. No, we broke nothing. The door was opened for you by someone else, and 99% of the time was a white man because Negroes didn't open a door for nobody. And we know it too, because Negroes know that Negroes who do come in via the Negro are going to act the Negro. And that's why a lot of Negroes of money don't be dealing with us, because we act the fool. There's your teacher moment. So stop acting like a moron and get back to reality. All this noise, beautiful, melodious sounds and whatnot. None of that was from God. That was all blasphemy. I wonder where we going to give credit to man, who was nothing but a long-term junkie and dealing with the kind of perversion he was dealing with. And up until the minute of his death, the same media that helped in the deifying and worshiping this fool were the one criticizing the man because of his life. Same people. Bunch of hypocrites. And you can't tell these worshipers nothing anyway. I don't even bother talking to them. Because why? Why should you? They ain't going to believe the truth in the first place. They're going to believe the lie. They've already believed the lie. That's why they're down there crying and caring. We love you, Michael. Fool, he dead. He can't hear you. Who you think you hollering at? We love you, Michael. Yeah, we love you. Who are you talking to? Nothing but a raggedy old piece of meat in that casket. He ain't gonna go, thank you. I wish you could hear me say thank you. I wish you could hear me say thank you, but I can't. Could you open up this so I can say thank you there, but... People are absolute. I told you, listen, when the Antichrist and the beast come on the scene, ain't gonna be no problems. No problems. You had millions of people around the world, 33, 38 million people watching this nonsense. Huh? 300 million? Pfft. Forget about it. They're going to be bound down before the Antichrist. He ain't got to even, if he did a moonwalk, I'd be like, oh, we're going to follow him. This thing is going to be, years ago, I said, I don't think, and I had to think about it. I said, wait a minute, I better not say that. But right now, it don't seem like the Antichrist could find the kind of audience that would justify almost his coming. But I said, you know, when it happens, it's going to happen. It looked like now it's going to be easier in the Walton. He'd do a couple of miracles, folks are going to follow him. And the economic situation, all bad as it is now, is only going to get worse. Israel in the mess over there and got Kim firing missiles like it's the 4th of July. You know, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, all kinds of mess going on in the world. Rogue nations, rogue fools with nukes and bombs and all kinds of weapons of mass destruction and chemical weapons. And again, Tokyo got gassed a few months ago by the same bunch of morons that gassed folks a few years ago. The whole world's going crazy. They're looking for someone to get them out, but Michael couldn't do it. Well, the world could, what the fools say? The world couldn't, wasn't ready. The world wasn't ready for Michael. Michael was a super has-been. And then at the same time, I don't know why the Lord took him. Why don't you ask the appropriate question is, Why did my stupid brother take dope? Stop blaming God when your brother put the junk, whomever, Allah and Ali and Kukla Fran, if you want to, put that junk in this book. Why in the world he put that mess in his own system? He was a junkie. Anybody in the 60s know what that means. I know fools don't know nothing now. He was a junkie. Now, see, the junkies of our age are now qualified or classified as alleged accidental drug overdose. That's the 80s version of the junkie. No alleging, you doing all that. What's the allege? I still call it a suicide, but that's my personal opinion. But all this singing and carrying on and tomfoolery nonsense, and people getting all caught up in that mess, God had nothing to do with it except it made him sick. Soon and very soon, we're going to see. Andre better repent. He's going to see that late. That's what he's going to see. Ushering in all these heathens. See, folk need to quit playing with God. And he's playing with God. And God spared that boy a long time ago from some mess. Ever since that cocaine charge came a long time ago, his mind got lost. All that mess, all this foolishness, all these fake choirs singing songs that sound great, but the Lord is not pleased with them because it ain't glorifying to him. It's worse than racket. Praise is comely for the upright, not for the heathen. He's up in heaven. No, he's not. He's in the better place. No, he's not. Nobody is. If anybody who dies does not die in Christ, they're not in a better place. They're in a place, but ain't a better one. It's a far worse place, and that's forever. Praise is comely. Praise is right. Praise is beautiful. Praise is fitting. It's right for the righteous to praise the Lord. And the upright man or woman sees praise as the right thing to do to God, not to some dead, piece of flesh. Some shriveled up piece of flesh. You give praise to God. Period. Or as Barnes said, for praise is comely for the upright, it's befitting and suitable and proper. That is, the upright, the righteous, have abundant cause for praise, and it is for them a suitable employment, or one which becomes them. In other words, it's fitting for us to do that. And a man who would praise God certainly wouldn't praise the heathen. A man who is upright or who is a righteous man has in this very fact much which lays a foundation for praise. For the fact that he has such a character is to be traced to the grace of God. And this in itself is a more valuable possession than gold or kingly crowns would be. Or would he rather, that he is not an open violator of the law of God, that he is not intemperate, in other words, without control of his life, that he is not the victim of raging lust and passions, that he is not a dishonest man, that he is not a profane man, that he is not an infidel or a scoffer, that he is a pious man, a redeemed man, a man of good character, an heir of heaven, is the highest blessing that could be conferred on him and he who has been saved from outbreaking transgression and crime in the world like this and has been enabled to live an upright life has eminently occasion to praise and bless God. Assuredly, for such a man, praise is an appropriate employment. For such a man, it is comely. End of quote. That's true. A man who is no longer the scum of the earth that he or she was before redemption, that has been redeemed and brought back or brought from the pit of hell and death and sin by God, given a new life of righteousness, given a good character, an heir of heaven. I mean, what greater reason can be a means of promoting praise to God? There's no greater blessing that can ever happen upon a person. No jewel, as one writer said, no jewel more ornamental to a holy face than sacred praise. Praise is not comely from unpardoned professional stagers or drama actors like it was yesterday and times before that. That was just nothing but stage, a professional stage, a macabre of nonsense. It is like a jewel and a gold in a swine's snout. Crooked hearts make crooked music, but the upright are the Lord's delight. Praise is the dress of saints in heaven. It is fitting that they should fit it on below. Praise is not right. It's not fitting for people who are acting. It was wrong for a choir, so-called, to get up there and praise this evil man. And to associate that this man is in heaven is blasphemy. Andre Crouch has lost his mind. And everybody up there, the two pimp preachers, Jackson and Sharpton, men of total lack of credibility. I'm amazed that anybody still listens to these clowns. And I'm sick and tired of all these Negroes, black folk, whatever we keep calling ourselves every 5 minutes, using this and every other lame excuse to keep pushing racism. I told you, folk, the minute you voted that man in office, racism would just go on exponentially. It'll never stop. Will that end it? I said, no, it won't end it. It's going to make it even worse because it'll be a free ride. It is a racial element to it. It was racism. It was racist. All the criticism was racist. Anyone talking about it? Well, I guess I'm a racist too. This is ridiculous. Men of intelligence realize and common sense know what's going on. But, you know, you leave it to Negroes to run around trying to make everything an issue of race that have nothing to do with race. None of this ever came up until a few days ago. Then suddenly, you know, you think these men would get, do you think people of good sense would get tired of being pimped to believe that everything has to do with race? This is beyond ridiculous. Beyond ridiculous. Verse 2, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. Now, this probably spoke of a time after captivity when the Lord gathered the remnant of his people together and brought them back into Jerusalem. Gathering up the outcast or those who were cast down speaks to that fact. For that act of mercy, the Lord was to be praised. God never sent Israel into a captivity that they did not deserve. They certainly deserved it. For God to rescue the outcast was a tremendous act of the mercy of God and due also to the genuine repentance of the remnant of the people. You know, God sent Israel into many captivities, and until they cried out to him and the remnant was rescued, nothing changed. Many others died, became slaves, or were assimilated into the heathen nations. Everybody wasn't rescued. Only remnants were rescued. Verse 3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. I mean, you look at, again, this was the description of those who were in captivity. Captivity was not a fun time or minor experience. It was a horrible time of death and destruction. Multitudes of people were devastated during these times. The remnant whom the Lord gathered up was crushed. And he healed their crushed hearts or their crushed spirits. And he also bound up their wounds. Or he figuratively salved their sorrows. You put a salve on to bring comfort to pain or to wounds. And he did that figuratively to their sorrows. Our mentality never makes any connection to the disobedience and sufferings that the Lord allows so many to go through. They were often in captivity because of the disobedience against God and his truth. And there's no doubt about that. I mean, that's historical and legendary. Just read the Bible. In fact, you can read other history books and see that Israel was oftentimes in captivity and allowed to suffer because of their simple disobedience against God. I mean, they had the greatest relationship imaginable, that God chose them of all the nations of the world. And chose him to be his own special people. And they kept resisting and rebelling against him. What do you think God's supposed to do? What do you think he would do? He did what he said he was going to do. And there is a great disconnect that we have with the realities of truth today. For example, if I see that Israel disobeyed the Lord and rejected his truth, we believe and expect that the Lord would indeed deal with them accordingly, according to what he said in the word. We do not make the same connection to ourselves. That's the disconnect of truth. And we have more than Israel did, okay, because we have a covenant that was established upon better promises. Now, we want to talk about that, and rightfully so, but we don't want to make the connection that with greater promises comes greater accountability. So we like to go through this great disconnect. Only Israel gets dealt with. Only Israel gets chastened. Only Israel gets in captivity. Only Israel is affected by God in his wrath because of their disobedience with a covenant that's less than the greater one we have today. That's a disconnect from reality and a disconnect from sense. It is almost as if we were living in a fantasy land of existence. And I guess that would be true in a culture that does not mind a profession of belief in a God they do not serve, worship, love, or obey. And that these expressions towards the Lord are actually the proof that we know him. But the disconnect is there. So today, a profession, any profession, and even the professions has digressed into, well, if we believe you believe in God, that means you're in heaven or a Christian. So we don't even consult the book that tells us what Christianity is. Who was it that told me that some so-called woman heard that some so-called preacher was at, get the lunacy, this was at Michael Jackson's deathbed, and that it might have been our other sister said that that she heard that some person said, told her that she had heard that some preacher was at MJ's deathbed and he made a deathbed confession and gave his life to the Lord. Now that's just downright stupid. First of all, there was no preacher that was anywhere near that house who gave it. Where's it in the police report? Do you think something like that would be missed by anybody and everybody? That would be something I'm sure that the hordes of media want to know. Well, who is this mysterious phantom preacher that supposedly helped lead a man who was dead already to a deathbed confession? It wasn't like, well, and my question to you is, why would the preacher give in CPR? He be the one, you there on a deathbed confession. Well, don't you think you the last one there seeing him? Because the doctor wasn't in the room. Well, who this preacher was? You have been beating on that chest and crying out, 1,000, 2,000, Doc, come on in here. Put your lips on and blow some air. There was no preacher in no room. People are so stupid that they just make stuff up. That's how ridiculous this nonsense is. We want our godless heroes to be so much right that we're willing to do anything to believe the most moronic nonsense. You know, and the thing about this isn't a light issue. I mean, this strikes at the heart of what God says is righteousness. People do not realize who they're messing with. They're messing with the Lord. They're going to give an account to God for this nonsense. This great disconnect from realities of truth. It's a great disconnect. People just say, well, I heard he was a believer. I don't care what you heard. What did the man's life, in fact, what does your life say? If you can believe a man who's a junkie and a pervert can get to heaven, what does it say about you? That you would believe that such a person who lived this life could be in heaven with this life. What does it say about you that believe that? That's a question that needs to be asked. We never see the connection of disobedience and rejection of God and his truth as something that he would judge. Either a heathen or many in the so-called church, they just don't see it. Everyone gets to heaven. No, everyone doesn't get there. And why do you want to talk about heaven all of a sudden? You deny Christ. You deny Christianity. You deny God, his right to rule over your worthless, insignificant existence. You deny the scriptures which talks about heaven. You deny everything that's God and godly. And yet, when your favorite uncle or heathen dies, your idol dies, suddenly you get this great epiphany that everyone's in heaven. Or, quote, in the better place. Well, where is this better place and how do you know about it? And as I said a few weeks ago, don't you want to go there? If it's so good, why don't you just die and go to your doggone self? You know, you complain about this life. Well, if this better place exists, don't you want to go to this better place? Better place than what? That's all said so that we can blunt the reality in our own lives that we know there ain't no better place for us. Unless that better place is heaven, and you only get there through Jesus, the one you hate. So you ain't going to no better place, and you know you. But you say that because you want to blunt your own mind. That's why after many of these so-called funerals, the first thing people want to do is eat and get drunk. They run to the food. I've been to enough funerals. They run to the food. Well, what kind of food they got here? Food? You here to bury? I know, but I'm hungry. Oh, see my stomach? I just want to see what kind of food they got here. What kind of food and liquor? Crazy. We seem to believe that our actions warrant no such response from the Lord, but for others, it certainly does. We try to heal ourselves and salve our hurts by our own means or through some other gimmicks, not realizing that none of these things can remotely do that if the Lord is responsible for the pain in the first place. If God is responsible for the pain, ain't nothing you can do about it. Try to remove it. Try to remove it. What can you do to withstand God? I wouldn't think about trying to do that. If I see something that God is doing in someone's life and dealing with that person because whatever that person did is between them and God, I would be insane to get in the way of God. Let God be God to that person and get your behind out the way. Get as far away from that situation as you possibly can. And just watch and learn. Watch God work. Don't you get in the way. Lord, that's my... Shh. Mm-mm. You hear about these poor police officers or these poor good Samaritans. They see people fighting and rolling in the streets. One of my best friends got stabbed in Los Angeles years ago. Broke my heart. Brother, and I used to be in the service here. I love Randy. Great young man. Talent. Man, he had great talent. Love the Lord. Great artist. Man had talent written all over his life. Big heart. Two stupid Negroes fighting. Man or woman. In the street. Big old crowd surrounding him. Out there in the street acting a Negro. And of course, Randy with his big heart. He tried to stop him, telling him, you don't need to do this. Pull out a knife and stabbed him in his heart. Let him die in the street. All these Negroes out in the street, let him die. You don't get in the way of things. Some things you just get out the way. It needs to run its course. You don't need to get involved in it. Our suffering in large degree is directly a response from God, whom we mock and ridicule on a continual basis. The idea that God is not judging and dealing in wrath against America is ludicrous and farcical. It's a joke. We act as if God is either neutral or non-existent. And if he is real, then he has made himself so vague that no one can know him, which is also ludicrous and farcical as well. We really don't live in such a manner that we believe that we need the Lord, especially in this country. If we are hurting and crushed, there is always some person or persons that we can confide in or some medicinal or herbal remedy to help us. Ask Michael, if you could. The boy was crushed in spirit. The man, he couldn't even sleep. It had nothing to do with him and his craft. That man was tore up on the inside. Anybody with an ounce of sense and so-called compassion knows this boy was messed up on the inside. and all them drugs that he used to try to calm his spirit. None of it worked. And he took stronger drugs. Anybody who's done drugs like me knows the process. That's why people who were junkies know what went on. We know the pattern of what this man did. He tried stronger drugs. It wouldn't silence that mess in the heart. And so he tried multiple strong drugs. That didn't work either. So I think he just took a syringe and took himself out. You have to silence that mess in your head. You have to end it. There's no way out. And those who knew him said he had thoughts of death. Do you think it's a strange thing? He got the same casket that James Brown was buried in, the same exact casket. The same. You know what? A few months ago, he was talking to the mortician at James Brown's funeral. Spent hours just standing over the body of James Brown. And asked the mortician, said, I want to ask you about the whole process of embalming the body. For hours, he was asking questions about embalming. What happens? How do you do it? And why did James choose gold as opposed to different kinds of caskets? And what, how much did the casket cost? And why did he choose this one? And on, he said, now here's a man who deals with death all the time. Now he knew something was wrong. He deals with death. People who deal with death know what's going on. See, fans don't know anything. They got an album and a DVD, and they think they know everything. You're dealing with people who know death every day. He was saying there was something just strange about this man's fast. He would just stand over James Brown's body and part the hair and kiss him on the forehead. He was just talking about death for hours. Standing over this dead man's body. And they wheeled the same exact casket that James Brown was buried in. But people who are stupid and don't think that there's a connection, they don't care. The man wanted to die. His only out was to get out. That's what happened to Michael Jackson. He couldn't deal with his own heart. All the confusion. I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I'm a professing Christian. I'm a professing Muslim. I don't know what I am. I'm all confused. I'm a child. I'm a grown man. When I play music, I grab my parts and I'm big and bad. But all that was just a show. Nothing but a cover up for a man tore up. Played with God. Dismissed God, the God of Scripture. His clown brothers, they don't know what to believe. People playing. And here we are, crushed as a nation. We don't know what to believe. I told folk, keep dismissing God, see what happens. Well before any election, well before any primaries, been predicting stuff like this for years. Nobody listens to Big Black. Just go back to the sermons months before and just listen. The evidence is right there on the website. All this stuff that's been going on. The economy destroyed. Everything ruined. Parallel to our dismissal of God. You think, listen, you think God is neutral? God is responsible for this nonsense. He's doing it. He's not only permitting it, as if, yeah, and see people, well, God permitted it. No, God is doing it. None of this makes any sense. Anybody with an ounce of economic knowledge knows none of this makes sense. And since it makes no sense, it must be of God. It's gotta be of God. He's doing this to beat this country to its knees. And people complaining now, just wait. We ain't seen nothing yet. We don't believe God. We always find some medicine, some herbal remedy, and all that's being cranked up. Everyone's crushed. Oh, you need to get rest. Take more melatonin. take more chamomile, take more valerian, take all three in a combination. That won't work but for a few weeks. Then you have to go to your doctor. You all stressed out about life. Got to have something a little stronger. Next thing you know, you ain't going to work the next day. You broke up. Next thing you know, you missed 2 weeks of work. You took sick leave. And you did the legal thing, but you weren't sick. You were just broken and crushed. And now you drugged out. Next thing you know, you done lost your job. You took your vacation. Next thing you know, you forgot to go back to work on Monday. And then they said, you know, you don't have to come back anymore because you've been fired. And now you lost your mind now. Go get your hunting rifle. And go down to that same job. And start taking folk out. They have nothing to do with your madness. It's happening time and time again. Killings, murders, suicide. Madness. Insaneness. Parallel to ignoring God. I don't care if you're ultra rich or ultra poor, ultra smart or ultra stupid. It's all happening in this country. We've never seen this condition in our country. Yeah, you're right. I've been around here long enough. I ain't seen it either. But it ain't gonna get no better. And the last time I said it ain't gonna get no better, it didn't get any better. It got worse. And where's the church? I don't know. She ain't saying nothing. The church is saying nothing. I remember the time the church was loud and clear. The church ain't saying a word about nothing. I don't know where the church is, except running around trying to promote his own gimmicks. If I'd have been on Nightlight Radio, I'd have blasted that man and that choir, so-called, from pillar to post. I'd have been hanging up on everybody that night. Would have been one of our greatest programs. Because people need to know the truth. All these things that this country and individuals are doing to try to help us or crush spirits because of our ignoring of God, they might affect the physical for a limited time, but they'll never touch the heart. They'll never touch the spiritual. Only recognition of the sin that we have perpetrated before God and to God and repentance from our wickedness can stem the tide of the suffering of the soul that we see and experience on a continual basis, but yet we act like it's not happening. I don't try to explain things away as some just common, earthly, non-God-existent issue. Everything is connected to the Creator. Everything. We've already seen that in the book of Psalms. God's not some distant cousin that you bump into at the airport. God is in control of it all. He's not in control of it and not and disinterested. God is in control and doing it. See, God has a plan. God has a wonderful plan for life. Shut up. God has a plan. He's doing it. He ain't thinking about your wonderful life. A wonderful plan for your life. God's plan is wonderful, whether it's in blessing or judgment. It's still wonderful because God is wonderful. I know God got a wonderful plan for that. They thinking God has a wonderful plan because you're wonderful. He wants you to be happy and heal and everything and make it money. Hallelujah. No, not really. And where are all these people at now? You notice they're all quiet now too? Where are they at? Where's all the God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and what? Where are they quiet too? Playing reruns of their old programs. Creflo actually trying to think he can teach the Bible now. It's too late. Them gimmicks don't work. You keep telling, just believe, only believe, and the economy's going to turn around. Yeah, it's turning all right in the wrong direction. Where are these people now with all this God talk? Quiet. Ooh, they be pulling that stuff off the station. They don't want people to know. Then suddenly they start teaching about David and Abraham. When did you start teaching Sunday school lessons? Last week you were teaching about money. Overcoming depression. Overcoming depression? When did you start teaching about depression? I thought y'all folk don't get depressed. When did y'all start getting depressed? Overcoming depression? I thought you folk always were happy in Jesus. And rich and what have you. Now y'all talking about depression? Bunch of hypocrites, bunch of lying thieves. Verse 4, he telleth the number of the stars, he called them all by their names. Once again, God's creative powers are expressed as one of the means of encouragement to those who are freshly out of captivity. You were rescued by the Creator. He knows every star by name, and he knows you too. He knows the vast stars of the universe. He knows every one of them by name because his power is infinite. I mean, it's an astonishing fact that God knows the names of every star. Why? He made them. When he made them, he named them. So every star that you see and don't see, God made them. And when he made them, he named them. Everyone has a wonderful name. Every star has a wonderful name. I mean, that's an astonishing fact right there. The whole point of knowing these things is to be in awe of the infinite power and wisdom of the Lord. He would not be and could not be God if he was not infinite in wisdom and power. Period. I mean, look at Isaiah 40, verse 25 and 26. He knows all the names of the stars and he knows you. Amazing. People act like they don't need God. I need him. We all do, but some of us really know we do. And I need him more than I could ever know I do. And see, no matter how much I believe I need him, my wisdom is not infinite. Okay? So listen to me. I'm glad that God knows that I need him more than I could possibly know. And that he is not meeting my needs and delivering and helping and guiding me based upon my knowledge of how much I need him and know I need him. Because my knowledge is limited and it is small. His wisdom is infinite. He knows everything you have need of before you ask him. Now, there's a limitation on what you know and can ask God. Because we don't know what to pray for as we ought. We don't know whether Paul is referring to suffering in that Romans 8 passage, which he is, because suffering sometimes is so great to those who are persecuted that they're down in their face and they're in dire pain. They don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit knows and intercedes on their behalf. And if you want to use it as a general principle, which I don't recommend, but just for the sake of discussion, I want you to understand that God knows what you have need of before you ask. And even if you can't ask because you're suffering, for Christ's sake, the Spirit will intercede in your behalf because we don't know. I could think of, 15 or 20 things that I believe I need. But is that all? I mean, that's the limitation of my knowledge. And oftentimes, like two or three, we're really focused in on. And we're still not asking for the right thing. Lord, give me wisdom. Well, the situation, the circumstance that you're in is given to provide you what you need to get the wisdom. You might be asking God for wisdom and he starts you at the process of getting the wisdom. You just slap wisdom right there in front of you. Sometimes it's the process of how you get it. See, but if we're not thinking like that, and usually most people aren't, then we see this as a hindrance to wisdom. Well, I asked the Lord for wisdom and I got... That's the process. Don't you see it? And then God would send someone who's been through the process and go, I suggest you yield to the process and be quiet because wisdom's coming. But you have to be patient. Wait on the Lord. Nah. The Bible. You know what? I'm 50 some odd years old right now. You grown. Go on ahead. Because you're unteachable. I don't have time for unteachable people anymore. If you can't be taught, just go on. You big and bad, you grown, go on ahead. Then I'm going to sit back and get me another teachable lesson. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, well, write that one down in my book. Uh-huh. So-and-so was a fool. Didn't listen to wisdom. Thought he was grown. Mm-hmm. Thought she was grown. Go ahead. I can give you like one or two times. Okay. It's time to back off and going about my business because you can't be taught. Verse 25, to whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. God called the stars into existence just by his own word. Who created these things, these stars, these planets, these black holes, so-called Milky Ways, galaxies, constellations, meteors, comets, whatever? Who did it? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. God calls and names all the stars because of his infinite power. Back to Psalm 147 in closing. As I said, he would not be and could not be God if he was not infinite in wisdom and power, which is seen in verse 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. His understanding is infinite, and since his is, that means ours isn't. That means if you're going to learn anything from someone who knows more than you, I would suggest going beyond people. I mean, you can learn from people, obviously. But my thought is you shouldn't dismiss God in the process, because we can always learn from somebody. I learned stuff this week from a guy who's younger than me. In fact, I learned it yesterday, a very valuable lesson at work. Like, wow, I didn't know that. But I didn't go, God, I don't need you, because I learned this from him. Maybe he could teach me some other things. Well, I don't think so. I think a lot of people, they get four or five people in their life and that's all the wisdom they want. Mm-mm. You better start thinking, God, teach me first and always, because then God will send you the right person or persons, and that person is going to just say what God told them to tell you anyway, which is his word. They're not going to tell you what you want to hear. I don't want someone to tell me what I want to hear. I want someone to tell me what God said. Great speaks of the greatness in all aspects of the definition, both in God's person and power. Both are great. But what's interesting in this verse is that the psalmist used two different words for great. The first word in describing the Lord is that his greatness infinitely distinguishes him from his creation, more specifically from man. That's the first word, great. We're talking about that which distinguishes God from mankind. God is not a man, and man is definitely no God, period. Anyone telling you that a man is a God or God-like is going to hell. And deserves it too, for blasphemy of God. And like I said, I'm hearing a lot of blasphemy about certain individuals in the media being called godlike. That talk is absolute blasphemous nonsense. And dare anyone calling him or herself a Christ that would ascribe the character of deity to a human is blaspheming God, plain and simple. I hear people describing themselves as Christ-like or godlike. That's just plain old blasphemy. And that the so-called stupidity of the news media to promote such nonsense just proves once again that they're a tool of the enemy. I mean, dumb down a people, make them stupid as they can, make their lives subject to a tube, whether it's a computer, whether it's a game, whether it's work, whether it's entertainment. Put them all, make them dependent upon a tube of some kind to answer their questions, some kind of a screen, some kind of a visual, a computer, a monitor, something. Get them all dependent upon a tube. And when they're thoroughly dumbed down, then you can tell them anything. Or as the Russians used to call people like this in socialism, useful idiots. That all they do is spout out the doctrine of what they've been taught. They're useful idiots. They're useful in the cause of what they're promoting, though they be completely ignorant of the motive behind what they're promoting. So when they promote blasphemy as Christianity, they're useful idiots to the devil. They're doing his bidding. I'm not saying they're not guilty or not accountable. Okay, because there's a big difference between some kind of Soviet-style subversion and socialism or communism, which produces useful idiots to promote communism, as opposed to a useful idiot that promotes blasphemy against God. I mean, that person's going to be accountable to God. Forget being accountable to Soviets. There's a big difference between that. They're just idiots. And I'm just wondering where the church is. She ain't doing nothing. There should be enough so-called Christian programming to refute the lie boldly. Whether we won't do it. We won't do it. We don't. You know, we've been telling the Paul and Jan and Kenneth and Gloria Cope have been telling everybody their little gods in the church, and evidently a lot of people have been believing the lie enough so that when you hear others say it, they don't even respond. They can't respond to it. God is not a man in any sense of the word. We better get that straight, lest we be idolaters and in line for God's wrath, because God don't care for no idolatry. He does not care for idolatry. And next time we're going to look at the distinction of the word greatness, the first word being God's complete and total distinguishing of himself from mankind. And the second word, great, speaks of the exceeding nature of his power. So we're going to be looking at both of those, Lord willing, next time. Great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. That'll cause us to run to God every chance we get, because we show stupid. We are dumb. I don't know anything unless God teaches me. You know, and I don't really want to know anything unless God teaches me, because if God didn't teach me, then what I'm learning is a flesh. It's always going to get me in trouble. You and I want to get taught by the Lord. Don't let these people who know nothing of God teach you. Always look at your television as one big, fat, juicy, devil-filled lie. From the test pattern, okay, right down to the end. Used to have the American flag, remember? Used to have the Pledge of Allegiance every night. And I used to stand up. My mother said she used to watch me stand up and either do the chest salute or do the salute every night to the American flag. Every night. She said she used to watch me do that every night. And I did that because I was proud of my country. And now my country is sad. It's a sad day. But I thank God I'm a Christian first. And I see that all this is in God's plan. All the election, the destruction of California in particular, this nation, this country, this state is about ready to go under. And you have not seen riots? We had riots at the best of times economically. You watch what happens. You just keep living. See, when the checks don't start coming in, and they still, Negroes sit away from the check from Washington, you're going to wait a long time, and they're going to be picking every pocket in your bank account before you get one and send your money back. But you're not going to see no checks. They ain't came yet, have they? You get your check? Nah. You ain't get no check into cash either. You're going to get check into nothing. Because you're not getting no check. You better hold on to your cash. Cash is king. Who's got any? You ain't got no job. You're laying off people every day. Talk about get your check. You better hope you got your job in the morning. Where am I getting no check? I need me a check so I can get my house. You better get a job so you can get it. You can keep your house. Or get your car or something. Well, Lord, thank you that in any economy, in every economy, you don't change at all. That you are faithful and infinite in wisdom and power and might, no matter what men do. In fact, you are in control and directly doing to a nation, to the world, to individuals, exactly what you want to have happen to them, whether in blessing or in judgment. And we need to see it as the church and speak out against blasphemy, Lord. We are to speak out like the prophets. We are to speak out as as men who are bold in the faith and bold in truth, and not to be cowards and gutless. We are to live as men and women of the truth, Lord, that we can have a testimony that glorifies you. And thank you again for your mercies, Lord. Your graces to us. We deserve nothing but judgment, yet you spared us through your Son. You saved us from our own selves, from our own wickedness and sinfulness against you. And thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for your mercy, Lord, and your grace. Bless the giving tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.